I was 5 years old back in July of 1969 when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin took those first steps for humans on the moon. And my parents tell me this, I don't have a memory of this part of it, but they said I drew a picture of a rocket ship and put it on the wall and said I was going to be an astronaut.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
I'm getting goosebumps right now, as a matter of fact, on my arm. It's amazing.
My name's Johnny Reinhardt, and I have lived in Southwest Michigan most of my life. It's such a wonderful community full of so many great things, but the best part is the people, families, history, and especially the stories that make it great. And with every story, you have to start somewhere. This is Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. This is episode 3 of Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Today, I'll be talking with Jim Montgomery, who was born and raised in South Haven, Michigan, now out in California doing things that are, well, out of this world. That's why we're calling today's episode From Michigan to Mars. Here's my conversation with Jim Montgomery. This is Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Jim Montgomery, I am very excited that you had some time to chat with me, because I know you are very, very busy with something that is happening not on this planet. right now are working for Jet Propulsion Laboratories, JPL. You probably have been seeing them in the news about something really big happening on Mars with Perseverance, as well as the Ingenuity helicopter and all of that fun stuff. So you're keeping yourself very busy. So I'm glad that you had some time to talk with me. But some people in our area in Southwest Michigan know you as Jim Montgomery, that is originally from South Haven. So tell me a little bit about that. I looked this up. You're class of 1982
yes,
at South Haven. But I want to go back even farther, because the show is called Start From the Beginning. So you work for JPL, which has things going on with NASA that is part of some really cool stuff. So what got you into doing things that are not on this planet?
So, yeah, that's a great question. And yes, starting from the beginning, I was 5 years old back in July of 1969 when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin took those first steps for humans on the moon. And my parents tell me this, I don't have a memory of this part of it, but they said I drew a picture of a rocket ship and put it on the wall and said I was going to be an astronaut.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
I'm getting goosebumps right now, as a matter of fact, on my arm. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Taking me right back to that moment. And just, I was just so inspired, you know, looking up at the sky at night, wondering, you know, are we alone in the universe? You know,
right.
Seeing the Milky Way galaxy as a, you know, a 5 year old kid back in Southwestern Michigan, you know, looking up and seeing the Milky Way galaxy and just, you know, wondering.
Yeah.
And then the Apollo program just so inspiring. I had another dream, actually. I wanted to be a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, but my fastball wasn't so good.
So that didn't work out for you, but hey, at least you got you had a good fallback plan of working with NASA, which that's I think pretty huge. So the fastball didn't work out, but did you end up playing sports in school?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I mean, love baseball. Learned that love from my grandma. I mean, I remember her teaching us how to play ball, 500, knockout, roll in, and just playing, you know, ball in the lot next to us as kids. Lots of great memories from that.
Yeah.
And she inspired my love of the Tigers. And I was back in the 70s, back in the dark years. So. But there's a nice story in 84, which I'll get to if you remind me.
Absolutely.
Grew up in Southwestern Michigan, right? It's just, it's such a wonderful, wonderful place to be from and to, you know, I miss it so much. You know, I've been out in LA now since 1984, but, you know, I come home two or three times a year and just, I just, you know, get grounded again. You know, and part of, you know, talking to me today, it's like, you know, I want to be an inspiration to the students, the youth and the adults out there.
Yeah.
To follow your dreams, because actually my dream was to be an astronaut, but I didn't quite make it. I studied science and math and engineering, all those things you do to be an astronaut. I went off to college, you know, got my computer science degree and BS at University of Michigan back in 1986. And that's actually the story about the Tigers. I was in the Michigan marching band, and in 1984 we played the Padres. Yeah. And game five, the Michigan marching band got to play out there in center field. So Kurt Gibson, Jack Morris, and clinching game five. So my first Tiger game ever was actually game five of the World Series when we clinched. So it's kind of hard to top that.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think about those moments of when you're 5 years old and you're looking up in the sky, and then you also get to see the things with the Detroit Tigers. So those two moments, are huge in your life, I'm sure.
Oh, certainly. It was fun. And so, I mean, fast forward a little bit then, right? So sure. You do all the things to be an astronaut. So you find out, oh, well, you're either a military pilot, you know, at right. that point I was like, fly the space shuttle, you know, and while I wasn't in the military and my eyesight's not so good as you can see. So the other route was mission specialist or payload specialist. Well, to be that, you have to either be a medical doctor, you know, or have a PhD. So I'm a little squeamish. I can never be a doctor. So I went the engineering route. And so I got my doctorate in computer science and autonomous robotics. I took the Russian language because at the time we were doing a lot with the Russians, and that was going to give me a leg up. I was flying small planes, checking all the boxes, right? Right. And so I applied six times and I got turned down six times. Got the little postcard saying, Mr. Montgomery, thank you very much for your interest in the astronaut candidate program. Try again next time. But the good news is, and this is the message I really want people to take hold of, is, you know, follow your passions, follow your dreams, because it was getting that doctorate back in 1999 that opened the door to a job at JPL in 2000. And now I get to explore the universe through our surrogate robots. So I worked on the Curiosity rover mission back in 2006 to 2012, mm-hmm. and now the Perseverance rover mission, and I get to explore the universe for a living, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is so awesome. And you know, it's funny that you know, you had that that dream at a young age, and I actually did too when I was a kid. I remember we took a trip down to Kennedy Space Center. I got to visit that, and I was like 8 or 9 years old, and I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I want to be an astronaut. I even had I remember getting a NASA patch. And my mom ironed it onto a polo shirt. And so it looked like I worked for, I either worked for NASA or I worked for Best Buy. Either way,
right?
It could have worked for both of that. But I had that engineering kind of mind of thinking, yeah, this would be cool. And then, yeah, again, my eyesight, not so great either. So I kind of veered away a little bit from that, but that's that looking up in the sky and wondering has always been something that I've always been like, whoa, this we're able to do this. So, so talk to me a little bit about this. So when you're young, you kind of stayed on that path, into even when you were in elementary school, because I mean, 5 years old, having that spark and that passion and those, like you said, even now you have goosebumps thinking about that stuff. So you stayed along that path. And so any teachers or anybody that tried to kind of tell you, you know, that's not something you can do, did they kind of try and talk you out of it?
Actually, no, just the opposite. And I definitely want to, starting from the beginning,
yeah,
I want to give great respect and gratitude to my parents. Both of them always stressed the importance of education and everything I wanted to try, you know, whether it was playing trombone at age five, you know, which opened the door to the Michigan marching band, you know, or playing sports, you know, cross country and baseball and swimming, you know, none of which that led to sports careers, but that's fine. But, you know, they always stressed a good education, and that was important.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then teachers, I mean, I can go through all of them, you know, from kindergarten through 12th grade, you know, all the way from Ms. Duggan in kindergarten, mm-hmm. Mrs. Groudon, Ms. Smith, you know, Mr. Mackey, I can go on and on, you know, and then you get into like college or high school. And there's, I got teachers actually who I'm Facebook friends with now, you know, Mr. Weiss, Mr. Dustin, Mr. Brooks, you know, they were, you know, they all, and many others, you know, and also the administrators. And I also give, you know, respect and gratitude to the, you know, the janitors, you know, and the cafeteria folks feeding us, you know. And I was in the South Haven Public School System, you know, and it's everyone in that school system that gave me a great education. And then I got, you know, accepted to the University of Michigan and you're off and running, right? But you needed that foundation. And so I'm grateful for that strong foundation I got from the South Haven Public School System and my parents.
Yeah. Do you ever wish that you could go to school right now? Because like in high school right now, I've seen, I mean, robotics has been a huge, huge thing for many kids. I mean, I wish I even had that when I was in high school. But just to see the growth of that, that not only is getting more and more kids inspired in a lot of the cool things that you are able to do right now on other planets, but do you ever wish that, you know, you could be in high school right now? And because, I mean, and when you were in school, you didn't really probably have a lot of robotics or things or even computers that could do, obviously, what we can do now.
No, it's amazing. You know, it's exponential growth in terms of just capabilities and technology, right? I mean, it's literally true. The cell phone you have in your pocket has more computing power than the Apollo command module that landed us on the moon. It's just nuts, right? Yeah. You know, and out of the box, you can go ahead and buy a quadcopter now that, you know, just flies around autonomously, uses GPS, waypoint following. You can program it. You got first robotics, right? And I've actually been a referee for a number of years because it's, you know, again, giving back, right? There's that kind of that I want to give back to the next generations. And it's amazing watching these teams progress over time, you know, and in South Haven, you know, Ramageddon has a phenomenally good team. Mm-hmm. You know, they've gone, you know, and they built that up over some number of years. As a matter of fact, I would like to speak with them, you know, next time. I'm planning to come home actually in July and August for my mother's 80th birthday.
Oh, wonderful.
And so we're going to try and work that out, you know, where I speak with the students. I've been chatting with some folks about that. And anyway, it's you're right, though. It's but your initial question, no way in the world.
No.
Would I want to be back in school again? Those kids are too competitive.
Yeah.
It's smart.
It has honestly, I see the competitive nature of more in some of the kids that are in the robotics than I do even in organized basketball or football or things like that, that mentality. But even when you go to some of those robotics events, it's much like you're going to a Friday night football game. It's just that I think as a kid that is in that, that also gives them the drive of wanting to continue to do that. Because, I mean, you know, if you do back in the day, if you're doing a science project or something like that, you know, your family members will show up and some friends might show up, but nowhere near is what you see the support happening. I mean, and also companies that are around. I mean, I'm sure your company as well, looking at the next age, you know, the kids that are into this technology and sort of helping them along the way, like you said, mentoring them into doing the things that you do and showing them, hey, you know, you could be, you have that robot that's going around the gymnasium right now, but that could be going on another planet, Mars or, you know, other planets beyond, because the stuff that you've been able to do in this short amount of time has just been amazing. So what would you say is the best advice that you've been given, either when you were a kid from your family members or maybe there's a teacher or something that said something to you that really sticks with you?
You know, nothing really jumps out as a singular moment in time. It just really, again, was that just that constant, you know, strive to do better for yourself by getting a good education. And again, all the supportive teachers. And I would be remiss also if I didn't mention Mr. Borma, who was our band director. I got in the Michigan Marching Band because of his teachings with trombone. So thank you, Mr. Borma. I got to march in 2 Rose Bowls, a Sugar Bowl, a Fiesta Bowl, and a Holiday Bowl back in the era of Bo, back when Michigan still went to bowl games.
Do you still play the trombone?
On occasion I'll pull it out, but you know, I've lost my embouchure.
Right. Cause I know, I mean, from a lot of people in the last year of, you know, they're spending more time at home, during the pandemic, they've realized, hey, I've got that, you know, maybe that old, band instrument or guitar or something like that. I'll pick that up and do that or try something new. But you have, actually, I mean, which is also a feat in its own, is your team and the Mars Perseverance and the helicopter Ingenuity, that's something too that is an accomplishment, because you're able to do, you guys as a team didn't get to be within the same room as you usually are. You had your sets of challenges as well, right?
Certainly. Yeah, I'm glad you touched on that, because as I mentioned, I was on the Mars Science Laboratory Curiosity rover mission.
Yeah.
And I was there with all my entry, descent, and landing brothers and sisters, and we had just gone through, 5 to 6 years of really intense sacrifice folks that may not realize, but we're working 6-7 days a week, 10, 11, 12 hour days. There was one stretch where I remember I had 3 22-hour days in a row.
Wow.
And I slept under a conference room table because I couldn't too tired to go home, and we sacrifice a lot, and it all comes down to 7 minutes of terror, as you may have mm-hmm. heard, where you could lose it all. And so you dedicate, I was on the mission from 2006 to 2014. We landed in 2012. It could all end up in, you could make a new crater on Mars kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I wish I could share that sensation, that set of emotions with everybody. It's electric. Again, here come the goosebumps again. It's the pent up stress, the excitement, the wonder. I'm something bigger than myself. All my teammates are here together, right? And then the first pictures come back from Mars, right? And wow, we've done it. Hugging and high-fiving and just the elation. And then for me, I do want to share this story with a dear friend of mine, Miguel San Martin, who's pretty much the father of the guidance, navigation, and control system we use for landing on Mars. And we had we worked hard, but we also play hard. And we were at a barbecue together. And it's a little bit of time before landing. And Miguel, all of a sudden, just tears are streaming down his face. And I'm like, Miguel, what's up?
Yeah.
And he just says, I hope we do not disappoint. And it's like, wow, it just hit me like a ton of bricks, the weight on his shoulders, because there literally were, I think, 2 billion people they estimated watched Curiosity land on the surface of Mars, a lot of them kids, and mm-hmm. the disappointment that would have happened if that would have failed. And so I felt that very strongly, even more strongly on Perseverance, because I was the system engineer for something called the Lander Vision System, which is part of terrain relative navigation. And your listeners can just go to their favorite search engine, look for Mars 2020 Perseverance and search for TRN or terrain relative navigation. And it's essentially what it was. It gave the rover the ability, it gave us eyes. Mm-hmm. Every mission before that, we'd land like this. And we would just roll the dice and have to pick a place on Mars where it wasn't so hazardous, where you could land safely, pick a cornfield mm-hmm. In the middle of Michigan, as opposed to the Rocky Mountains kind of thing.
Right.
Right. And so we could not land in Jezero Crater because it was too hazardous. Well, LVS TRN gave us eyes. So as we landed on Mars, we took images of the surface. We had a map on board, much like if you ever hike with a topographic map, and you look for those mountain peaks out there, you can mm-hmm. draw the lines back, and where they intersect, that's where you're at. And that's essentially what LVS does. The Lander Vision System would tell the rover where it's at on Mars to about 20 meters, 60 feet. Wow. And once we knew where we were at, we had a map with hazards laid out. Here's rocks, here's a cliff, here's a sand dune, stay away from that. Here's the green spots, go there. And so with TRN, it was about a 99% chance of us successfully landing, 1% chance of death. If we would have failed, it's about an 85% chance of success or 15% chance of death. And, those are odds that we would not want to take. So right. I felt a lot of pressure myself that day that I did not disappoint.
Right.
And our team did not disappoint, and we didn't end up failing. And then we rolled the dice and, we hit the river delta and hit the delta or boulders or what have you.
Right.
And so to your point is the team, and we all have each other's backs and we all work hard. We cross check each other on things. We're very critical in our checking. We never attack the person. We attack the ideas. It's a very healthy, interaction. That's mm-hmm. the diversity of all humans. That's the thing I love about JPL. We're like that Star Trek model. You've got Uhura, and you've got Chekhov, and you've got, going the old Star Trek.
Yeah.
Now they've got Klingons together, right? So, but the point being, right, every type of human being you could think about from every walk of life works at JPL.
Yeah.
And it's our diversity that is our strength. you know, and we're that existence proof of humans peacefully coming together to land a 1 metric ton rover on Mars and explore the universe together, which is beautiful.
Yeah. And that's that the anticipation too, like you said, that 7 minutes of terror, but the anticipation and the buildup of any project like this is years. I mean, for Perseverance, I mean, like you said, it's that buildup to 7 minutes and it's a pass or fail kind of
that's right.
situation. Yeah. It's just like school. Like you said, you don't want to go back to school because it's all that preparation for that this is your final exam that takes many, many years to construct. So in that 7 minutes, were you at any point unsure if it was going to work? Do you have any hesitations like, ooh, man, I don't know if this is working right. Cause in that 7 minutes, everything from when I was watching it live, everything seemed to go as planned, but I'm not the ones that in the room. So tell me a little bit about what was going through your mind in that 7 minutes.
Certainly. Well, the neat thing for this was the silver lining of the coronavirus was that due to that, we had to reduce greatly the number of people that were in the room during landing. Yeah. So I wasn't there, but I got to spend it with my wife instead. And so she's literally for 14, 15 years, she sacrificed along with me. You know, she's the one that's like holding down the fort when I'm working the 12, 14, 16 hour days. So I was with her and a few other of our JPL teammates, socially distanced. All wearing our masks, mm-hmm. You know, we got a little JPL Mars. I don't know if you can see that. Let's see.
Yeah.
Where's it at? It's somewhere in there. Well, actually, it was the landing day one. This one's even cooler.
Yeah.
It's got that's awesome. 218, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, but I was cautiously optimistic because I felt like, you know, we had done everything we could think of. And I give mm-hmm. JPL and NASA credit. We would not launch if we did not feel ready. And there's so many reviews you go through, you know, but there's always that bad day. You know, or something you didn't think about could have happened. So it, like you said, it just went, you know, by the numbers straight down the pipe, and then we landed, and it was just an amazing experience. And actually, I started working on this technology back in 2004. So it's actually been almost 17 years of my life invested in what came down to 7 minutes, you know. Wow. And so Andrew Johnson, who's kind of the father of TRN at JPL, good friend of mine, basically, you know, his pressure was even more because he's been the one who's got the funding and the team.
Sure.
And we've gone through all the ups and downs together, you know, so it's the pressure, the buildup. Oh my gosh. It's like always in the back of your mind, mm-hmm. but the last, like I'll say the last three or four weeks wasn't sleeping. Eyes are popping open at 1 a.m. you know, just, you know, laying in bed, just, you know, have I forgotten something, you know, is it going to go okay? Are we going to disappoint? You know, and now we're on Mars, and it's just like it's been 40 sols on Mars, you know, and we're getting ready to fly the Ingenuity helicopter pretty quick. And the neat thing is, right, it's that discovery. I remember Carl Sagan, mm-hmm. too, you know, back in the 70s with Cosmos, also super inspirational to me. And, you know, it's like, you know, the question is, are we alone in the universe? And this is the first mission that could actually answer that question. We know that Mars was once habitable because of Curiosity. We know the ingredients of life were there, water, organics, source of energy. So microbial life on your body, single cell organisms, would have been quite happy a billion years ago on Mars. So we know it was habitable, but we don't know if it was inhabited.
Right.
So you have to prove it. So this next mission there's a possibility that could show that, you know, there's either past or present life on Mars. And I think about that, right? For eons, humans have looked up at the sky and wondered, are we alone in the universe?
Right.
And imagine if we answered that question, that'd be like a Galileo moment, you know, where we realize, wow, you know, the sun, you know, the earth is not the center of the universe. You know, it's the sun. We're just a bargain basement planet around a bargain basement star in a bargain basement galaxy.
And that's the cool part too, of discovery and doing all this stuff is that also, us, as younger, and people that are in that mindset of, oh, this is really cool, is that we also have something that you didn't have when you were 5 years old, and that's social media. So we can see all of this stuff as it happens. You even growing up, it's like, you have all that stuff that's like, oh, you see it in the newspaper, you might catch it in a magazine or something like that. But real time videos, pictures, we can follow along in that journey of what you're doing. And that's awesome.
Yeah, Johnny, you just gave me goosebumps there too, right? Because you're absolutely right. I mean, it was like Walter Cronkite, you know, on the evening news, you know, or they'd cut in with the live feed of a few things, right? But the data, I mean, yeah, you folks out there right now, just go to your favorite search engine and go for search for Mars 2020 Perseverance. You know, Percy has her own Twitter feed, you know.
Which is great, by the way. Whoever's doing that, I commend. Very good. Yeah, it's so good to see all that stuff.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I think was beautiful, because I mean, it's, you're absolutely right. It's like it, the whole world, you know, and they're citizen scientists, you know. We put the data out there that you can go to like Perseverance and search for Mars 2020 raw images. And you can get the raw images, you know, you can stitch them together. People are like, you know, doing all this wonderful stuff way over my head, you know, image processing stuff, you know, and making panoramas. And you know, that's great that I think that also involves the entire world. And I mean, kids now, it's like, I mean, yeah, they've got all these like out of the box image processing tools. They can just go ahead and put together and do amazing things, you know? So I think that is something that's, you know, so exciting that right now, we all have at our fingertips. You know, we can look at the Mars Perseverance rover mission or all of JPL's Earth science and climate science missions, right? We can look at Earth, you know, 24/7. And with climate change and those things that we have, you know, that we are looking at right now, you know, these are things that we have the pulse, you know, the vital signs of planet Earth, you know. So JPL, I'm very proud that not only do we explore the universe, but we also, with our strong Earth science and climate science, you know, some of the most pressing things of our times where we citizens can help with that as well.
Yeah. And that's that brings so many more ideas to the table. Like you said, you have such a diverse team, and that's within JPL and with NASA and then other organizations that can kind of help. But like you said, it's citizens of the world that can come up with, they may come up with something and that somebody didn't realize and didn't see. And it's like, oh my gosh, this a major breakthrough that somebody in their living room was able to figure out after checking something out on the internet. It's crazy.
Yeah, right. It's crazy too. Cause with COVID, I actually work from home. So last night I had a shift, you know, it boggles my mind. I'm sitting in my pajamas with my tea, you know, plugged into mission control as it were, you know, and getting data from the rover, you know, and assessing, you know, the health and safety of the rover. I'm helping, you know, I feel very fortunate as part of the inter-descent and landing team to help land Perseverance on Mars. And I'm part of the surface operations team that helps operate Perseverance on Mars. And so every day, right, the data comes down and goosebumps again, it's happened a lot. But there's this panorama of the surface of Mars. And I think no human being has ever seen this before.
Right.
You know, and what's over that hill? Well, in a few days, we'll drive over that hill and we'll see what's over that hill. It's kind of like The Martian, right? Yep. You know, Matt Damon, you know, but we're basically through Perseverance's eyes, you know, it's we're able to go ahead and now hear Mars for the first time, right? We have microphones. We can actually hear the wheels crunching the surface of Mars. It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, absolutely. The cool things that you can see, and like you said, it's a new discovery every day. You're making new stops, new places, because even the Curiosity rover on a totally different part of the planet, right? So it's a totally new discovery every single day. So it's cool to see. Plus, it's great. You can hang out at home and get all that data and do all that stuff.
Yeah.
This has been a lot of fun. I do want to ask you, what do you do on your free time? Because it sounds like with all those other hours that you're putting in, do you have free time? Do you have hobbies of any kind?
I have lots of hobbies, but they've been kind of on hold. But yes, Johnny, I will tell you one of my, I have lots of loves. Yeah. You know, I have a vegetable garden. Going back to from the beginning, my grandparents and parents taught me how to grow food, you know, which I've been forever grateful for. As a matter of fact, I have strawberries from my mom and dad's garden that I have a few plants and they've been producing strawberries out here. So I put it in the garden. I used to play a lot of beach volleyball, but that's kind of gone by the wayside. But I love to backpack and hike. So back in 2002, right before I got married, I hiked the John Muir Trail, which is about a 225-mile backpack in the Sierras. Wow. And so next year will be the 20th anniversary of me hiking the John Muir Trail. So I'm starting to get back in shape for that. And also I want to hike the Pacific Crest Trail, which goes from Canada to Mexico. Not all at once, but that's on the to-do list. Get back out. Because I love the natural world, right? One thing I'll say about exploring the universe and in particular Mars, you realize just how special this pale blue dot, as Carl Sagan called it, is, yeah. Right? You know, this is the only place that we know of that life exists. The biodiversity of life. You know, we got hummingbirds in our yard right now. The baby's just fledged for the first day. So it's kind of funny, right?
Yeah.
Ingenuity's going to fly in a day or two. And our little hummingbird babies just left the nest this morning. I got to watch. So I'm a lover of nature, our natural world. It's just, you know, it's life is just a beautiful thing, right? And so getting back out in nature, you know, is what I want to do. And just, you know, hiking, backpacking, camping, going someplace where I have stars in the sky. You know, it's not, you know,
right.
LA, there's about 4 or 5 stars in the sky at night. And actually, even my hometown in South Haven, now I go home to my folks' house and the Milky Way galaxy is not what it was when I was a kid. You know, I feel bad for kids that don't have what we had growing up, where you can see the Milky Way galaxy, you know, in the summertime. Nothing like a southwestern Michigan summer night with the Milky Way galaxy overhead.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I grew up about 1/8 mile from Lake Michigan, so that was even better. Camping right. On Lake Michigan. Oh, gosh, I miss home.
Well, we look forward to you, like you said, visiting your mother, your grandmother.
My mom's going to be 80. Yeah, wow. My dad turned 81 last year. So family is very important to me, you know, and my siblings too. My brother, yeah. Carrie and Stacy and Kelly, that, you know, I could go on and on. It's like everybody, right? You stand on the shoulders of giants, mm-hmm. And I stand on the shoulders of those before me, my teachers, my parents, the support network for my friends, you know, it's, you know, so Johnny, I want to thank you for reaching out to me.
Yeah.
Cause this has been a lot of fun and I do want to, I think we're wrapping this up, right?
Keep going. I mean, if you got something else to say,
well, you shouldn't have said that. I can never stop. I, as you can tell, I'm a little bit passionate about this stuff.
Yeah.
And I hope the main message, I do a lot of public outreach and speaking, at least did before coronavirus, but I'll start that again. I'm actually hoping to do a talk actually in Southwestern Michigan, you know, depending on where we're at in the pandemic in July, August, I would love to do a talk. I've done that in South Haven multiple times. Just free to the public and people can come and I'll talk about what we're doing and they ask questions. But again, I always try to always weave this into the talk and it really mm-hmm. is follow your passion. You know, I don't care what it is. It could be a radio host. It could be a auto mechanic. Right. It could be a ballerina. It could be a chef. It could, whatever it is, I don't care, you know, but you know, follow your passion, follow your dreams and good things will happen. And, you know, I followed my passion and dreams of being an astronaut, but that door never opened up for me, but the door to JPL did. And now I've got to explore the universe and have just amazing experiences, you know, field testing our technology systems on helicopters and F-18s, you know, up at Edwards Air Force Base and out in the desert, you know, with my, you know, you know, the memories are countless. It's hard, but I think it's the difficulty that makes it so special. You know, it's a persevere, mm-hmm. as perseverance has done, you know, the team persevered through some pretty challenging times. And, my boss said, you know, savor the success. And a lot of times I don't do that. I don't take the time to sit back and go, wow, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, and it's also the you're always looking at what's next. So what is next? I mean, you're working right now, you're working on this project, but like you said, with all the other ones that you've worked on, you're also thinking about what's next. So
yeah.
What is the next thing that you and the team are looking at and maybe working on?
Yeah, that's a great question. And JPL, that's the thing I love about JPL and NASA. It's visionary, right? We have mm-hmm. basically near in time and space. You know, we're talking like, you know, back to the moon with Artemis. Right. We're also talking about, you know, boots, footprints, you know, on the surface of Mars and get out to Europa, landing on Europa. You know, it's an icy ball of water. You know, are there European dolphins swimming beneath the surface? Right. We don't know. You know, so the question is, but you need the technology to get there. So that's going back to my roots, going back to technology. Andrew Johnson, who I talked about a little bit earlier, you know, what is the next thing? So there's sample return lander. You know, we're going to be caching samples of Mars. As good as Perseverance is and equipped as she is, you know, mm-hmm. she's got like, you know, she's got the Apollo 11 technology compared to what we have here on Earth. So right. we want to bring samples back, much like the Apollo astronauts brought back the lunar samples and bring to bear all the, you know, analytical tools we have here on Earth, you know, because there might be life there and we don't even see it, you know,
right.
So that's that sample return lander. So we need to go ahead and do pinpoint landing, not only land safely, but now you want to go ahead and have enough fuel to, as you come on the surface of Mars, you fly, you know, a few kilometers to where the samples are at and you land and touch down and you blast it back off. Also, there's the human lander system. that he wants me to work on. He says, you know, stop working on the surface, get back over here on the technology side,
right,
and help us with the 2026 mission and the human lander system mission. And so there's no shortage of fun things to work on, but I have promised my wife and myself no more 60, 70 hour work weeks, no more 6-7 days a week. I'm going to reduce my work week to 40 hours a week. And we're going to start having a little bit of fun. So I told Andrew, I said, okay, that's the deal. I'm the gray beard now. You know, I will go ahead and mentor the next generation of the 20 and 30 year olds so they can do the 60 hour, 70 hour work weeks. And I'll call them on Friday, say, I'll see you on Monday. You know, have that review ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's that follow your passion, but also leave some time for yourself and some time for some fun and extracurriculars and things of all that.
Yeah. And so, I don't want to make it sound horrible. I mean, anybody that's out there thinking about a job in space, kids, students, I hope I'm scared you off. I will say, you know, there's 7 billion plus humans on the right. I am one of 10,000-ish human beings who got to be part of Curiosity, and now 10,000-ish human beings who get to be part of Perseverance. You know, and so dare mighty things is what we say at JPL, you know, and to dare mighty things, it takes sacrifice, it takes perseverance, it takes hard work. But the payoffs, you know, are immense, you know, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I'm so fortunate. I'm so grateful. And going back to my parents and everyone else, you know, it's like, thank you for believing in me, you know, and supporting me and that good Southwestern Michigan upbringing I had.
Yeah. What I love too is that it still gives things like this still give you goosebumps. And that's another thing to think about too. Anybody that's thinking about something, whatever their passion may be, that stuff that gives them those goosebumps or those butterflies is that's a great passion to follow as well. So
for sure. And I can tell you're very passionate about what you do. I mean, I just learned about you in a few weeks ago. I'm looking forward to now actually, I assume these podcasts are like online. I can check them out.
Yep. You'll be able to check this out. And I'm looking forward to many more great conversations with cool people like yourself and all people that have great stories to tell. And I've enjoyed the time that I've been able to spend with you. And I look forward to all the cool things that are happening. I've been watching all the stuff with Perseverance and looking forward to Ingenuity and just seeing all the cool things. Plus, the great Twitter posts are fun as well. So
aren't they good?
Yeah. So, Jim, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with me. I had a wonderful time.
Me too, Johnny. This has just been a blast of figuratively, not literally. Well, literally too. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Special thanks to our guests for telling their stories. And if you have a story to tell, I'd love to hear more. Please reach out to me by emailing letstalk@wsjm.com. That's letstalk@wsjm.com. You can listen to this podcast and all the episodes wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. This is a Midwest Family production. I'm Johnny Reinhart. Join me next time for another great story on Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan.